This is The Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Steve Vaughn, also with me. A couple of homeschooling dads. And we're coming back to family issues today. One thing I love about family issues is that it ultimately is the test of the warp and the woof of our Christian life and faith. I mean, the bottom line is our faith needs feet. And the faith really gains the most application day to day in family life. So we come back to that issue on this edition of the program. It's our marriage. It's our relationships with our kids that really test whether there is that agape love in our hearts and whether we have this commitment to faith in God. Because as we have faith in God, as we have love for God, we open the Word of God and share it with our kids as we sit in the house, as we walk by the way, as we rise up, as we lie down. Our relationship with our kids will manifest the true sincerity of our walk, of our faith. Well, Steve, we're going to talk a little bit about parenting today. The American Family Survey identified the lack of parental discipline and training as one of the biggest problems. 53% of Americans said parents are not disciplining or teaching their children sufficiently. In fact, that was by far the number one concern of Americans. I mean, we're not talking about Christians here specifically, but just Americans in general said, hey, the big problem in the family is parenting. Disciplining and teaching children sufficiently. 53% of Americans said that's the issue. Only 26% of Americans were concerned about costs of raising the family. 25% of Americans were concerned with sexual permissiveness and so forth. But 53% of Americans said parents are not disciplining or teaching their children sufficiently. And Leonard Sachs, a gentleman that I've had on this program before, interviewed by CBS News, and I take this from intellectualtakeout.com. He wrote a book called The Collapse of Parenting. I think that's one of his more recent books. Dr. Sachs is quoted as saying, I think in a certain way you need to expect kids to behave like adults, but you should not give them the authority of an adult. Every era has its challenges, he says, but I don't think we're recognizing ours. There's been an explosion in the proportion of kids on medication in this country. Kids need authority, and when parents step back from authority, what's happened in many cases is that doctors step in instead of parents setting clear rules of right and wrong. Now you've got this kid running around throwing things, and he's put on medication. Parents, Leonard Sachs notes, have turned their commands into questions and made their children the final determiners of what they can and cannot do. As a result, children are allowed to choose the school they want to attend, the food they want to eat, and any number of other decisions which children simply don't have the wisdom or maturity to make on their own. And it could be that parenting is the biggest demonstration of the breakdown of a society. When parental authority is gone, society winds up with very poor foundations, family, the family itself being the very foundation of a social unit. And friends, this is where we are today. Sachs concludes that by saying that instead of continuing to try to make their children like them, parents need to be unafraid to lay down the rules and take responsibility to teach right and wrong. You know, actually, I think what we see more than anything else is just an abdication of parental involvement. It seems like parents have checked out increasingly. I've been traveling quite a bit lately, Steve, and what I see is that parents are plugging their kids into the electronics, just pretty much ignoring them. I was on a flight out of Fort Lauderdale last night, and I was on the same row as this little 10-year-old boy and probably his 15-year-old sister and his 2-year-old little brother. And all the kids on the plane seem to be plugged into the iPads. They're watching the movies. You know, the 10-year-old kid is watching an R-rated horror flick, and the 2-year-old was watching his movie with a pacifier in his mouth, headphones on his head, just sort of gazing at the screen while the parents were asleep. So I got, you know, as I was considering this program, I thought to myself, now that is pretty much what's happening, you know, not just on the plane, but yeah. I think in the home as well. You plug them into the electronics and you just walk away. I don't think that's going to yield very good results for the next generation or two.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think parents are, I think they feel tired. Parenting is hard. It's not something that's real simple to do. And if you can distract your children and get some, you know, just get some reprieve, some relief from having to try to raise these kids, then all of a sudden it feels like, wow, you know, I could just do this all day long. And then they do. They plug their kids in. They go off and do their own thing. They plug themselves in. And it's just more of a coexisting in the same general area than it is actually disciplining and training their kids.
Yeah, there certainly is a lack of motivation to get involved in their kids' lives. And that could be, yeah, just they're overwhelmed. But, you know, you abdicate at this level and you're going to reap the whirlwind. And that's what happens in each successive generation. We're certainly seeing the devolving of society generation by generation with millennials, the Gen Zers and others. But let's take a look at why parents have a hard time teaching right and wrong to their children. That next on the Generations broadcast. Stay with us.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also with me today as we talk about parents abdicating responsibility and giving up on their own authority and also refusing to teach right and wrong. This seems to be a concern on the part of Dr. Leonard Sachs, who writes the book, The Collapse of Parenting, but also 53% of Americans are concerned that parents aren't teaching their children adequately these values. Now, I think the first thing we need to remember, Steve, is that ultimately it's a person's worldview that will dictate their life. We don't always look at the concrete. We need to pull back the carpets and look at the concrete. That is the basic presuppositions, the basic worldview presuppositions that come into a person's way of thinking, way of life. And so why is it that parents have a hard time bringing out the absolute right and wrong, and to convey that message, to teach their children these particular values? I think the answer is relativism is the dominant theory. Relativism is the zeitgeist. We have crossed the line of despair, and now there is no possibility of absolute reality, truth, and ethics in the postmodern world. So that's where we are. That's the zeitgeist. That's what everybody assumes. That's the foundation. That's the worldview that everybody has assumed. And I'm going to say it's probably 94% of the population. It may be less than that, but it's the predominant worldview today is relativism. So let's just remember that. And even those attending church are often assuming a worldview of relativism. Even before they start talking about Jesus, some fairy tale story of Jesus, their ultimate commitment, to a presuppositional proposition is the commitment to a relativistic worldview. That's where they begin. That's where society begins. That's basic assumption that there can be no absolute. That is taken for granted by the masses. Okay, so that's first and foremost. If you're plugged into the media, if you're plugged into
the movie scene, if you're plugged into modern pop music, if you're plugged into the news, if you're plugged in to ABC, NBC, CBS, you're plugged into the university, you're going to assume relativism. That's what people assume in the modern, postmodern world. Well, the predominant worldview is uncertainty. There's no commitment to an absolute reality or an absolute right and wrong. Therefore, parenting will reduce to inconsistency, flip-flopping, and uncertainty. Why? Because that's their worldview. And I think people need to remember that, that certainty is heretical to the modern mind. The idea of saying something with any form of dogmatism, the idea that a pastor, a preacher, would stand up on a Sunday morning and speak with, you know, certainty that God has created us and God has given us his law, and his law says, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That anybody should stand up and say, that defines right and wrong, period, end of discussion. Okay, that anybody should ever attempt that would be the ultimate heresy of the day. So I think first and foremost, we need to remember that parents have already been taught very, 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 very clearly that they must be relativists in their thinking. I think.
Yeah, and if there's something that you don't believe is true, it's hard to teach somebody else that that thing is also true. If I don't believe it myself, I have a hard time saying, well, I believe in, you know, you should believe in this even though I don't.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. So in other words, it'd be the height of hypocrisy to, you know, tell your kids, hey, there is right and wrong, but then you run around with the basic assumption that there is no possibility of absolute right and wrong. And this goes back to the 19th century. Remember, it was Charlotte Mason who said, children are not born either good or bad, but with possibilities of either good or evil. Chief responsibility rests on the children as persons in the acceptance or rejection of initial ideas. So it's up to the children to decide whether to receive or to reject initial ideas. So you know, Charlotte Mason there assuming humanist autonomy. The worldview of the modern schools teach this, of course. I mean, this came from the 19th century, people like Charlotte Mason. And so this autonomy, this idea that each human must determine what will be true for themselves, what will be right or wrong for themselves, goes back to Charlotte Mason, but really ultimately back to the fall, you know, ye shall be as gods, determining good and evil for yourself. The worldview of the modern schools really teach this autonomy. But if you teach that each child is a law unto himself, nothing can be presented dogmatically. See, that's the problem. One Christian homeschool supplier told us, and you might have been in this meeting at one point, Steve, I don't remember, but this one Christian homeschool supplier told us, these guys supply curriculum. They're a major supplier. They said, we present in the curriculum all of the ideas and let the individual child decide for himself what he will believe.
Yeah, I was in that meeting.
Oh, you remember that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was asking them, I actually asked them, if you find that there's a biblical reason to not believe this, do you always put it in your curriculum that, well, the Bible says this is wrong? And they said, well, as we come to that, we do. And it's like, so your curriculum may be wrong biblically, but you don't ever say that until you catch it? And so you're teaching these as truths?
Yeah, I think there, again, the assumption is relativism. And so if that be the case, then you present to your children all of these theories concerning, you know, truth propositions, and then you assume that the child is going to determine what is right or what is wrong for themselves, much as like what Charlotte Mason wrote when she said, chief responsibility rests on children as persons in the acceptance or rejection of initial ideas. So this is the basic presupposed worldview that underlies our systems, our media, our educational systems, and many of the churches across this country. If God is not taken as the ultimate authority, there can be no certainty of anything. So the point is that, yeah, I mean, you teach autonomy. In other words, you teach in these secular schools that each child determines what is right and wrong, what is true, what is not true for themselves. But at the end of the day, there can be no truth. So, you know, everybody kind of has, you know, a theory, an opinion. But in the end, there is no truth. There's no certainty of anything whatsoever. So autonomy always leads to uncertainty. That is, there is no absolutes whatsoever. If God is not taken as the ultimate authority, then there can be no certainty of anything. So parents will leave it up to the kids, and parents will be caught in this constant state of uncertainty, asking their children what they think about this or what they think about that. So again, I think we need to start, Steve, with a worldview. What is the worldview? Do we believe in God? Do we believe that God is the one who teaches us? All truth, all light comes from God. In his light, we will see light. If that be the case, then we render to God's word absolute authority. We submit ourselves to God's word. We present God's word. We're always coming back to God's word. We begin with God's word. We begin our disagreements or discussions with God's word. When that's not the case in our church meetings, when that's not the case in our families, when that's not the case in our minds, then we have given way to humanism and to man's mind being the ultimate, but then ultimately resigning to the inevitability of relativism. That is, there is no possibility of knowing truth at all. So that's the way that modern man has been taught to think, as he has abandoned God in this country. Well, the other thing that I think we need to talk about also is that parents have to believe that they have been delegated authority by God, specifically in the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So we begin with the fifth commandment, that God has delegated authority to parents, and that children have an obligation to honor their parents, to listen to their parents, to submit to their parents' teaching. But when there is so little fear of God, there is a little sense of parental authority on the part of parents. You might run into a parent who'll say, you know, my junior high daughter just never listens to me. I could never homeschool her. I could never, you know, try to tell her anything because she would resist everything I ever taught her. So, you know, you hear these things. And the first question you ask has got to be, ma'am, mom, do you fear God yourself? Do you fear God? Do you believe that you've been delegated authority from God, who is the ultimate sovereign creator of all things? Do you believe this yourself? Do you rejoice with trembling in his presence? Do you fear him? Do you reverence God yourself? If she doesn't reverence God, if she isn't living in the fear of God all the day long, her daughter's going to pick that up. It's like the guy, I think it's Dr. James Dobson, initially told this story of, you know, a police officer pulls you over and, you know, he's not losing his temper. He's not screaming at you, you know, why can't you obey my laws? He seems to be able to retain a great deal of poise and respect for the system. Why? Because he realizes he's got all the guns, he's got all the judges, he's got all of the legislative systems behind him. He's got all the prisons behind where he could put you in prison, you know. So he's got a sense of his authority. He's been designated by the state of Colorado to take authority in the position where he is. So in like manner, you know, if you pull a little 2-year-old doing a 64 miles per hour in a 20 mile per hour zone in your kitchen, and you're not going to lose your temper with him. You're going to realize, you know, hey, he has violated the law. And he, you know, you have been designated as an officer in God's sphere. God, the creator of the universe, much, much, much more powerful, the source of all authority over all governments, over the entire universe. He has delegated his authority to you to be parent in that kitchen. And so if you realize that, that's going to take on a whole different environment in your own family, in your own life, in your own child training. So I think that's the point that needs to be made. If there is no fear of God, if there's no sense of parental authority as delegated by God himself on the part of the parents, it's just going to be chaos out there.
Yeah, I think it might have been Tozer that said the most important thing, the thing that decides pretty much everything that you do, what you believe, is what you believe about God. And if you believe the wrong things about God, and this is for everybody, if you're an atheist and you don't believe God's out there at all, then that's going to determine how you act. And there's so many people out there that say, well, I believe in God, but the problem is they don't believe God. There's a big difference there, that you need to believe that he has given you that authority. And when you have, you know, I had a policeman friend who said that he got called to a domestic altercation in a home, and he got there and a 10-year-old girl had their entire family locked up in the bathroom. And when they finally got the family out, he went up to the dad and said, you know, I think even on my worst day, I could have avoided this situation.
Yeah, it's a sad indication of where things are today, as you know, 10-year-olds are running the home. But here's a question I think we need to answer as we end the program. Do we teach our children right and wrong? Do we teach them the laws of God? There's a little controversy over this within the Christian church. Do we teach our children right and wrong if they have not committed themselves in faith to believing the gospel? Do we teach the law or the gospel? And the answer, of course, is both. But in the mind of the modern evangelical, that's very difficult to resolve. Do we teach them to obey? Do we teach our children to obey before we teach them the gospel? If we did that, we train them to be legalists. If obedience is separated from faith, we teach them to obey out of sheer coercion or to obey out of fear of punishment or to obey out of a self-reliance. And then they begin to see their Christian upbringing as rooted in self-generated works, and we don't want that. On the other hand, do we hold off teaching them to honor mom and dad, to obey mommy and daddy, while we wait for them to exhibit true faith, you know, like later on? Do we wait on teaching them the law while we teach them the gospel and wait for them to exhibit true faith and demonstrate some kind of a conversion experience? In that case, we're allowing them to ignore the law of God as if it were unimportant, and we become permissive parents, allowing our children to do whatever they want to do. So, you know, you give way to legalism or antinomianism if you're separating the lesson of the law from the lesson of the gospel. So which do you teach? And the answer, of course, is yes, both. Yes, absolutely. You teach both. You know, and this separation of these things in the mind of the modern evangelical has been extremely detrimental. Are we going to teach them the law of God for the first 10 years of their lives and force them to accept the law and then inculcate the gospel when they turn 15 years old? Or do we teach the gospel for the first 10 to 15 years of their lives and hold off on teaching the law until they receive the gospel? Obviously, again, we teach the faith, the gospel itself, the law of God and the gospel at the same time. We teach faith and obedience at the same time. They may not experience a conversion experience as prescribed in some recipe form by some evangelical organization, but we must insist that our children hear and receive the truth of God's law and the truth of the gospel at the same time. And the way I like to put it is when our children, you know, break the laws of God, they disobey mommy and daddy, we point that out to them, you know, and we do that oftentimes through corporal punishment and that sort of thing. But at the same time, we, you know, our children say, well, I just can't be good. You know, I don't know how to be good. And we say, well, that's, you know, why Jesus came. Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to overcome this for us. And so we need trust in Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. So we don't separate out the law of God from the gospel. When we disconnect it, it's compartmentalization. The separation of these things creates legalists and antinomians out of our families and churches. We just don't want to do that. So let me wrap up this way, Steve, by summarizing the principles of good parenting. First, teach your children the word of God. The best thing to do is teach them God's word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. So, you know, teach them the whole word of God. Just go through God's word. Don't compartmentalize. But teach them God's word. Teach them right and wrong based on God's word. Always start with God's word. Teach them to fear God. Teach them to love God, to trust God. God gives us his word, his truth. And then speak it with certainty. Speak it as you believe in it. Then teach your children that mommy and daddy are trying to make wise applications of God's laws. And that's why we teach you not to waste your food, eat your vegetables, don't be rude and burp out loud, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. In other words, the ultimate principle comes from God. And then as mommy and daddy, we try to make application to God's laws. So that's the way to raise your kids. teach them where the commandments come from. Teach them the commandments of God, and then show them that as parents, we are trying to make wise application of God's laws in our homes. Until your children are able to make decisions out of faith and wisdom for themselves, you don't turn the decision-making over to them. In other words, foolishness is often bound in the heart of children. The rod of reproof drives it from them. So it doesn't happen overnight. So you don't just immediately sort of turn over all these decisions to your children while they lack wisdom. And then, of course, as we just mentioned, never separate Jesus out of the day-to-day liturgy, the teaching, the discipline in the home. Teach your children day by day that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to die on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day. And you know, Jesus can help us to be good. We cry out, save me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me to be good. And he does so by his Holy Spirit working in and through us. And then fifthly, use the rod to enforce the laws of God and to point out sin. Yes, we do use the rod. We're commanded to do so in Scripture. God uses the rod on us. That's Hebrews 12. And of course, that's somewhat of spiritual application, but we are also to use corporal punishment for our children. But always remind your kids that Jesus took the punishment on the cross for our sins, and by his death, he helps us to be good. Encourage your children to believe on Jesus, God's only Savior. And then finally, here's the last point. Parents, listen to this. Lead by example. We ourselves submit to God. We ourselves live out this testimony. Confess our sins to our children as we have broken God's laws, as we exhibit anger in the home or what have you. Confess these sins out loud and then ask for God's forgiveness, and then demonstrate your faith in Christ by walking with him, praying to him, and trusting him day to day. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. You can get more out of my little book, Family Life, available at our website, generations.org. We have a book that sort of summarizes these issues. It's a broad swipe. It's a big picture approach to the Christian family as presented in God's Word. And that's that book, Family Life, is available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, and we welcome you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.